Okay. Morning, everyone. Today is Daf Kuf Tes Nizachim. We're back on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, and we're starting at the Mishnah. Okay. The Mishnah is going to make comparisons. Chomer b'shchita, maybe aliyah, or aliyah may b'shchita. There are chomers by shchita over aliyah, and there's chomers by aliyah over shchita. So we know already, we are experts on the fact that there are two Isurim in the Torah. There's one of Shchutei Chutz, shechting carbon outside the Beit HaMikdash, and there's a second Isur of Halal B'chutz, offering a carbon outside the Beit HaMikdash. Now, there are essentially two parts of, you know, of one bad idea. The bad idea is, I'm going to offer something outside the Beit HaMikdash. That's a bad idea. So, but there are two separate Isurim, however. They're counted as two separate Isurim. And the Mishnah here is going to compare. They're essentially the same. We'll make that point later on this morning. Essentially the same formula in order to violate the Isser, but there's still going to be some subtle differences. Chomer b'shchita she'ashochi lahedjo chayef. So number one, by shchita, there's a chomer in that if you shech to a hedjo, you're going to be chayef. Okay, so hedjo, now usually when we say hedjo, we mean a commoner, meaning when we talk about a hedjot, we mean, let's give an example, Kohen Gadol, Kohen Hedjot, right? The special Kohen, the Kohen, and then the Kohen Hedjot, and then the, you know, the rest of the Kohanim, who are less than special, just regular Kohanim. No offense, of course. Now, over here, it's a little bit tricky, because what does the Mishnah mean? It's such a simple question. What does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah says, well, if I shecht to hedjot, so I'm still going to be chayev. But who am I shechting to? Am I shechting to a deity, lowercase d, right? A god, lowercase g? Is that what the Mishnah is talking about? Or hedjot, does that mean like a person? I'm shechting to a person. So Rashi makes his position very clear. Rashi says, we're talking about shechting to a god, lowercase g, another god, right? Idolatry. Okay, so here's where we're going to do a little... Here's where Rashi gets a little bit tricky. Okay, so what's the story now? So I'm shechting outside the Beit HaMikdash to a god. Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Idolatry. Right? And I'm going to be chayev if I do that. Meaning if I take a carbon and I shecht it outside for idolatry, so I'm going to be chayev on Shchutei Chutz. Now Rashi, of course, is going to be bothered by, I'm going to read Rashi inside in just a second, what are you talking about? You got much bigger issues, right? We're worried about Shchutei Chutz, so you should be worried about things like idolatry. And, right, just to compound the issue, we know we have a problem. We have a general rule of Kimlei B'derabim Minei. Right? If I do something that has a very severe punishment to it, so we don't worry about the other stuff. So how are we ever going to get to a scenario where I just successfully violated idolatry, and then you're going to be worried about issues of Shchutei Chutz? How does that work out? Look at Rashi inside. Hamala lehejo pater. If you're going to be malal lehejo, you're going to be pater. Rashi mishum halachutz v'chayv mishum oved avodas kochavim. And so, in other words, there are going to be two counts over here. One count is going to be idolatry, and the other count is going to be Shchutei Chutz. Okay. Now, v'im hezid ba'avodas kochavim. V'shagug behelas chutz. If you were mazed on the Avodah Zarah, right? So what if the Avodah Zarah, in other words, you know, right? I'm worshipping idolatry and, okay, that's fine. I'm okay with it. So the person's mazed on Avodah Zarah, and you shogeg behelas chutz. So then, so then, under such circumstances, he wouldn't be bringing a chatos under such circumstances. But okay, so that, and the Gemara is going to explain later on. But in other words, according to Rashi, we are discussing a scenario where the person is really accomplishing two things, two bad things. He's number one being over to Avodah Zarah, number two, he's violating the Isser of Shchutei Chutz. If you can turn page and go to the next page and go to the second Tosfos on the page, second Tosfos over here really takes us back to where we are in the Mishnah. Publisher of the Gemara put Tosfos over here. It happens every now and then. Perish Bekuntris, he writes like this. He quotes Rashi, Patur Mishom Halachot, V'chai Mishom Ave Kochavim. V'im Hezeh Bavos Kochav, V'shagab Alas Chot, V'im Hezeh Al Shigas Ochatos. V'teim Amayis Chayev Ma'ala L'chaveiro, V'shom Ma'ala B'chutz, K'im Dem Hezeh Bavos Kochavim, Lav shemiyadiyasahu. The mumar lavers kochavim mumar chalatar kula. So Tosfos says, "Wow, I really don't understand what Rashi's doing here." Because let's put it this way: when you're according to Rashi, we're talking about someone who's an idolater. When you're an idolater, so your commitment to Judaism obviously is, forget lax. Lax isn't the right word. You're a mumar, meaning you are English. They say apostate. Right, you have no. Right, you're pretty much out of touch with the with the faith. You're, how do we say, we're off the reservation. Right, and consequently, says Tosfos, you know the rule. If you're a mummer, if you are a total apostate, you don't have options to bring a carbon chatas. You're not in the ballpark of bringing a carbon chatas. Carbon chatas is someone who is only shev miyadiyaso. Meaning, what's the whole carbon chatas? The whole idea of carbon chatas is that I want to do tshuva. Only, in other words, if you were sincere about wanting to come back into the fold, then we could talk about tshuva. But if you're somebody who's doing idolatry, a mumal avarazor is mumal cholatara kula. That's it. You missed a big one, and you're not part of the whole process. You're not entitled to bring a carbon chatas under such circumstances. Meaning, according to Rashi, you're an ovid avarazor and you just also violate shchut echutz. So Rashi says, okay, so we'll figure out how to bring a carbon for one of the two. Tosfos says there's nothing to figure out. You're not bringing a carbon. You're not in the parsha of bringing a carbon. So Tosfos says, look, I think I fundamentally disagree with Rashi. Meaning the Mishnah says that you are shochet lehejot. So Rashi assumes that meant deity, some sort of, you know, idolatry. The Tosfos says, I don't think so. I think shochel lehejot just simply means something other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but doesn't have to be idolatry. Meaning we don't have to entertain the whole discussion of idolatry over here. That's not the issue. He offered it to I don't know, his friend. Invited him for
that really should be the definition of idolatry, no?
No, idolatry means
shechted as if it was a korban. Shechted, oh, it's just chulin.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna eat it. Like he changed his mind.
Oh, something along those lines. But anyway, that's that. Because look, I mean, there's a big point in Tosfos, which I don't know how Rashi will defend himself against, which is right. In other words, if avodah zarah is what's that play over here. So you're a mumal avodah zarah, you're a mumal chol torah kula. You're not in the discussion of bringing a carbon chatas. You're out of that discussion. Okay, so just raising the issue, just reading Tosfos. Anyway, so let's go back to the Mishnah. So, for shchut echutz, we have a chomer. The chomer is that if you go outside and you shech lehejot, you're going to be chayev. Hamala lehejot pater. However, when it comes to offering to hejot, so then you're going to be pater. So that's the difference. The Gemara is going to learn out why it applies to shchut echutz, why it doesn't apply to mala b'chutz. Let's go the other direction. Chomer ba'aliyah. Now there's a chomer when it comes to aliyah, which is shnayim sha'asu b'tzaken v'shachtu peturim. Right, on Shabbos we have this concept of shnayim sha'asu. Now this is not Shabbos. This is just the halachas of shchut echutz. But on Shabbos the concept is that if a malacha can be performed by one person and two people do the malacha, which could have been performed by one person, so then you are your pater, you're exempt. Both of you. Minatari, your pater, of course, midrabanan, that's going to be aster, but still midaraisa, you're going to be pater. Here, and it's not Shabbos, obviously, this is not a Shabbos issue. This is a shechting carbon after the Beis HaMikdash issue. But still, when it comes to two people holding the knife to do the shechita, so they're going to be pater. Achzu be'aver ve'halu, chayavin. However, if the two of them hold an aver, and the two of them bring a limb up on the mizbech outside the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to be chayav. Okay? So that's basic differences between shechita versus halah. And really, as I'm going to show you just a little bit later on, that's really the only difference between the two. Otherwise, they're essentially the same same requirements in order to violate each iser. So Rabbi Shimon says, if you bring it up and you bring it up and you bring it up and you do it multiple times, you're going to be chayav on each one. Now, what are we talking about over here? Limbs of an animal, one limb that keeps coming off and you keep putting back on again. We'll discuss that when we get to the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Einu Chayav Alachas, Einu Chayav Achiyala, L'Rosh HaMizbech. Let me do that again. Einu Chayav Alachas. And according to Rabbi Yossi, you're only going to be Chayav one. And again, when we get to the Gemara, we will go through the Machlok between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, What are we talking about over here? What's the case over here about multiple halas, multiple putting up on the mizbeach?
Just as Rav Yossi, so Rav Yossi chalafta.
Ve'enu chayv achi al rosh mizbeach. Next issue, what do you have to offer it on? Meaning you're outside the Beit HaMikdash and you want to violate the Isser of halal b'chutz. So what are you going to put it on? So according to the Tanna Kamma, you got to put it on a mizbeach. You need an altar. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask the question, like an altar, like same dimensions, or same proportions, horns, foundation, all that. So, okay, so Gemara later on, we'll discuss exactly what mizbeach he means. What exactly does he mean by mizbeach? Maybe Shimon Amar, I feel halal selo, halal even chayev. No, it doesn't have to be an altar. It could be a stone. Find a nice big stone outside, and you want to put it on the stone, and that would be fine, and that would be good enough. Okay. Three big issues in the Mishnah to discuss. Number one, the issue of chumras. There's one chumra by shechita. There's one chumra by halah. Second issue, which we're going to be discussing in the Mishnah, is the issue of multiple violations. And the third issue is going to be, what does it actually have to be on? So, the Gemara, very organized, goes step by step. So we go to issue number one. So when it comes to ma'ala, so the Torah says la'hashem. Okay, this is going to sound a lot like Rashi, right? That this is talking about God versus other deities. False deities, of course. So when it comes to offering up on the Mizbeth, the Torah says, you offer it up to Hashem. Meaning, this is how you successfully violate the Isser of Halah B'chutz. B'shechita nami yaksiv l'Hashem. But the Gemara says, okay. But when it comes to Shechita, Pasuk as well. The Pasuk says, Rashi quotes, El Pesach Omod lo heviu lahakriv karba l'Hashem. It also says regarding Shechita l'Hashem. So why is there any difference between Shechita versus Halah? Shani Asim Damakra, Ish Ish. So the Pasuk says, Ish Ish. The double Ish is ish shachat li'ish. Right? One person who shechs for another person. Okay, again, now it's a little bit funny. Are we talking about another person, meaning invite a friend over? Ish over here is a euphemism for another deity. Okay, so here it could really go either way in terms of who I'm shechting other than God. But the point is I'm shechting to something other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
It could be like you're acting as somebody else's agent.
Right, maybe. So Gabi Hala Namiksiv Ishish. So the Gemara says, okay, but when it comes to Halah, it also says Ishish. So the Gemara says, no, how mi baile lishtaim shalub ever chayavin. So the Gemara says, no, because over there, when it comes to Halah, I need the Ishish to tell me another halacha. Notably, that two people who bring a carbon up onto the Mizbeach is going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, okay, turn around. So the ish ish mentioned by the shechita is also required for the halach of shnayim she'achzu. Shani hasam damakra hahu echa velo shnayim. So the Gemara says, no, when it comes to shechita, the pasuk says the word hahu, only he, meaning that liability for shechut echus is only when one person holds a knife, not when two people hold a knife. Ihachi gabi ala namik siv hahu. So the Gemara says again, you're going to just keep running into these issues. When it comes to halah, the Torah also says the words ahu, ahumi baile lemuute shogeg anus umute. Hahu, no. When it comes to halah, hahu is telling us that you're only going to be chayev when you are of, how do we say this? Sane mind and sane body. I'm not saying it right. Sound mind and sound body. Right. In other words, you have to be of a total state of awareness. Now, there are a number of issues over here. Like, for example, when the Gemara says you have to be of sound mind and sound body, the Torah says if you're a shogeg, or you're an ones, or you're a muteh, so under those circumstances, you're not going to be chayef. Okay. Tosfos deals with the issue that is so blatant to me. So obviously, just difficult to understand. Ones, meaning I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that if I was ones, if I was coerced, so I'm not going to be chayev. So look at the top tosas on the page. I'm sure everyone's already guessing what the issue is going to be. Ksas kasha, Tosso says it's a little bit difficult, right? I don't know. I think it's even a little bit more. Ksas kasha, anus lama likra. why do I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that if I'm honest, that if I was coerced, so I'm not going to be chayev? Pshita de ones rachmana patre. We know that if you're honest, that if you're an honest, if you were coerced, you don't have any liability for acts of coercion. Anything that you do because you were coerced is simply not going to be, you're not going to be held responsible for. So
what about for the tree? I mean, for either worship, you know, even if you're coerced, you should give up. I'm not.
No, if you're given the choice, not if you're coerced. If you're given the choice, so then you have to choose. But coercion over here means you were physically forced to do something. That's usually what onus means. A woman's raped, right? That's coercion,
right?
Right. That's a case of onus. Onus rechmana patre. She has no liability whatsoever for having had an
coerced to do idol worship.
Wait.
But if somebody coerced to do idol worshiping, he should not give up his life and do the idol worshiping.
No, that's not coercion. Meaning, at that point in time, he has a choice.
What choice does he have?
Choice is either do it or give up your life. You have a choice. Anos means you were physically coerced into doing something. So Tosfos over here says, so pshita da onus rachmana patre. The Torah makes that distinction just simply to talk about, you know, maybe she could have asked for help, she couldn't, but if no one there was there to help her, that's onus.
How could it be done for either worshiping the coercion?
How could this be done?
For coercion, for idol worshiping. I mean, it has to be a state of his mind and he chooses.
For she to bow down.
Well, that's exactly what bothers Tosfos. Tosfos says onis. Meaning, I mean, the Gemara in Ksuvos, at the beginning of the Gemara over there, they talk about a scenario where you made a condition, you said you were going to go back, get back, and there was no boat, there was no ferry to get you back. In other words, you simply couldn't do it.
I'm saying for the idol worshiping.
But that's, in other words, you
how can somebody be coerced to do idol worship without is wanting it?
So how about, I understand that, but over here, we're talking about shchut echutz. We're just talking about just offering something outside.
Right.
So someone forced his hand, physically forced his hand. So Tosfos says, so why do I need a special pasuk over here to tell me that an onus is pater? So now Tosfos is going to say, and of course, in other words, the question is a powerful question. It's a strong question. What do I need a special pasuk? So what we're going to have to do over here, Tosfos is going to do, is he's going to redefine onus. Tosfos says, "Hai onus prat la omer mutter." Maybe onus over here says that he justified and he rationalized and he says that in this scenario, omer mutter, he says it's permissible. Meaning he legitimately thought it was permissible, and that somehow categorically fits under the case of onus. We don't usually call that onus. We usually call that something else.
Okay.
We usually call that shoge. Now, okay, v'tema, and that brings us to the next part of Tosfos, which is also another difficulty. Lamali kral miftere mikaris kishu shoge. Pshita bar karbanu. And Tosfos says, look, another thing that the Gemara just mentioned is that if you are shogeg onus or mutter, so you're not going to be chayev. If you're a shogeg, you're not going to be chayev. Of course you're not going to be chayev. Tosfos says, the whole idea of shogeg is that you're going to bring a karban chatas. Ostensibly, that's because you're not chayev. Meaning, you're not chayev kares. Certainly when you're a shogeg, there's liability. Right? Shogeg doesn't mean, oops. Shogeg means you made an error of judgment. Shogeg means, I didn't know it was usher. I thought it was mutter. I didn't know we were outside the Beit HaMikdash. But in other words, shogeg is still, there's the definition of mistake, it's not a mistake, shogeg. Shogeg is more like inadvertent. I was careless. So the Gemara says, so what again bothers Tosfos over here is that I need a pasuk to tell me that shogeg, if I was a shogeg, I'm not going to be chayv kares. Tosfos says again, of course you're not going to be chayv kares. That's the whole idea of shogeg, is that it's a lower level liability, which the Torah says, look, you're not going to be chayv kares, you'll just have to bring a karban in order to receive a kapara. And look at Tosus's response. Tosus says, yesh lamar, so pshita bar karbanu, yesh lamar sakadat chaymina ilo maisi karban lehave bikares dahala achar havas karban dafka ksiva nislach lo. Maybe, says Tosfos, you are chayv kares, even on a shogeg. It just happens to be that by shogeg, you could bring a karban to get rid of the kares. Okay.
You mean just in this case you think?
Now I don't know. Yeah, that's so. I'm. Same question enters my mind. I don't know if Tosus is saying this generically, meaning across the board, meaning that really shogeg your chayiv kares, and then the carbon just gets rid of the kares, or maybe specifically in this case over here. I'm not sure. Meaning the drush is here by shchut echutz and halab echutz. So I'm not sure if this is a general suggestion of Tosfos or specific to over here. Okay, unclear about that. But it's interesting though, because again, Tosfos is just trying to deal with, I have a pasuk that tells me that you have to be of sound mind and sound body in order to be liable. And the exclusions are onus and shogeg, and why do they need to be excluded? Okay, so, and Tosfos deals with it. Ihachi, the Gemara says, if this is true, let's go back to the Gemara now. Ihachi hachanami mi bai lamuti anashoge gamote. So the Gemara says, well, much like I have this requirement of being sound mind, sound body when it comes to shchut echutz, don't I have that same requirement of sound mind, sound body by Allah b'chutz? So the Gemara says, trei hahu ksive. So it says the word hahu twice. So ve'elal Hashem lamalilo si seir hamishalech, and it does say, and it says regarding the, it says Hashem by halaa. So the Gemara says that's regarding seir hamishalech. What does that mean? Rashi says demashma haray lekarv l'shem chayav en alav b'chutz v'she'ena omei l'shem ein chayav en alav b'chutz. It has to be something which was going to be for Hashem, meaning a karban. The Seir HaMishtaleach is not for Hashem. Okay? It's, I made an allusion to a Ramban. I made allusion to the Ramban the other day. This Gemara fits in beautifully to what the Ramban suggests. Okay, but, Which we didn't go through together here. It's a strange Ramban. But anyway, so, you know, there's not going to be an Isser of Halal B'chutz if I would take the Seir HaMishtaleach and have offered it outside. The basic point of the Gemara is, look, he casts lots, right? For the Seir that stays inside, that's La Hashem. It actually says that on the lottery ticket. The Seir HaMishtaleach is La Zazel. It goes out.
It says on the lottery ticket La Zazel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they argue that it's from Bnei Yisrael.
Correct, but Ben's going to point out, I'm going to side with him on this issue. Yes, it's for Bnei Yisrael, but we're doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it. Well, the common parak basra darish le, and then Rashi writes. So let's get it all straight. Rashi writes. Well, common parak basra darish le tana de brisa hachiv galav b'shchitav hu adin lahala da hamigmar gemiri mehadade kida amaran. Now, when it comes to the Seir Mishtaleach, you're exempt from both. Meaning there's not shchut echutz and there's not halab echutz. Now it's true that the Torah only speaks it out on one of the two counts, but Rashi writes over here, they're essentially the same. Meaning, if you're going to be chayv on shchut echutz, you'll be chayv on halah, and if not for one, then not the other. La'arev parshios. Because, look, it all stems from that same parsha that we read on Friday from Parshas Achremos. Bar mehanach trei. There are only two exceptions. The two exceptions that we are talking about in our Mishnah, the Shtaim Sha'asu and the exception of Lashem Velo Lahejel. But outside of those two, those are special chumras that apply to one and not the other. Chumra de Masisin de Mefarshe Kra Bekulo Ben Lechiyuv Ben Lepetura. But outside of that, they're essentially the same. So the Seir HaMishtaleach, it's not Lahashem, and so therefore there is no violation. If somebody is kooky enough to take the Seir HaMishtaleach and shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, or offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash, so there's not going to be a violation of Shchut Echutz or Halab Echutz. Do they get the kapara for not having done the Seir HaMishtaleach? Okay, that's another issue. But just in terms of the Isurim, that animal's is not part of the Isurim because it's not Lashem. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Chomer b'hala, ten rabbani ishish matam alamer l'rabo shnaim sh'achzu be'ever ve'elu she'chayavin. If two people hold the limb and bring the limb onto the Mizbeach, they're going to be chayav. L'rabo, sorry, yeah. She'yachav alo dinhu. And the Gemara says, look, because without a special pasuk, without the ish, we could have said like this, a very simple kavachomer. Look, you have a chumra when it comes to shchut echot. And that is that if I shecht even for a hedyot, on behalf of a hedyot, I'm going to be chayav. So you have a chumra. And meanwhile, two people hold the knife, they're going to be putter. By a mala b'chutzwa, I don't even have the chumra, so wouldn't you argue, kava chumra, that if two people bring the limb up, they're going to be patur. Hamala lehedra shepatur enadin. Sheshnaim sheachsu paturim tamalamer ish ish. That's why, correct. So the kavachomer would have worked. That's why I have the pasuk. The pasuk of ish ish div Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi Omer, hahu echa velo shnayim. So the Rabbi Yossi says, no. It's the limitation. It's echa velo shnayim. It's who, him, echa velo shnayim. Im kema tamalamer ish ish. So once he has that limitation, that miyut, so what does he need the ishish for? Dibra Torah Kol Hashem B'nei Adam. That's just a way of talking. The Torah just simply says that sometimes, ish ish. Rabbi Shimon, ayahu mi ba'alei. Now according to Rabbi Shimon, what do you do with the pasuk of hahu? Lemute shogeganu samuta. Hahu means he has to be him. Meaning he has to be of sound mind, sound body. Rabbi Yossi mehu hahu. And Rabbi Yossi gets both points out of there. Meaning one point is that him, not two. And hahu in the extra hey, sound mind, sound body. Rabbi Shimon, hu hahu lo darish. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, I don't buy into that. That extra hey doesn't speak to two drashas. Rabbi Yossi made the high ish ish debatara torah kolashim bnei adam. Hahu ish ish namri debatara kolashim bnei adam. So the Gemara says of Rabbi Shimon, if you ish ish, if debatara kolashim bnei adam, you're going to say that generally. Ve'ela hashoche lehejo minale. Now remember, the whole source of this halacha, that's shechting not to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but to some other entity. You're going to be chayav. Where do we learn that from? We learned it from Ishish. But according to Rabbi Shimon, where he subscribes to this rule of Dibra Torah Kol Hashem Bnei Adam. So where does he get the idea that shechting to hedge you're going to be chayav? To chayav nafkalei mi dam yechashev lishahu, dam shafach. Afilo hashochet lish. When it comes to shechita, the Torah is focused on the act of shechita. Not what your intent is, but simply the act. If the act involves taking a carbon and shechting it outside, regardless of to whom you're shechting it to, you're going to be chayav. That's where Rabbi Shimon gets the idea. So really, the truth of the matter is that it's a lot of accounting of the Gemara, but the conclusion's all there. Everyone agrees to the conclusions. By shchutei chutz, there's a special halacha of hashochet lehejo chayav, that if you shech to another entity, another, according to Rashi, another deity, according to Tosos, anything, if you shech to another entity, you're going to be chayav. That's a special halacha. The only question is, where is that halacha learned out from? Is it learned out from the pasuk of Ishish, or is it learned out from the pasuk of Dam Yechashev? And when it comes to halah b'chutz, offering a carbon outside, you have a special halacha of shnaim she'achzu, that if two people hold the limb and bring it up, they're going to be chayav. Where does that come from? Where does that halacha come from? So it either comes from the ish-ish, the double language, according to Rabbi Shimon. He doesn't subscribe to ish-ish, so he learns it out from a miyut of, by shechita it says ahu, which means one, not two, so halah, it means even two doing it. Okay? So the accounting is the issue, but the conclusion, everyone agrees to the conclusion. Let's go on. Hela v'chazar v'hela. Okay, a tough little sugya coming up now. We are in the second part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah deals with what if I bring it up multiple times? Okay. If I bring it up multiple times, so it's a machlok of the Mishnah, whether I'm going to be chai for multiple counts. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says that chai v'kol aliyah. Every time I bring a part of the carbon up onto the Mizbeach, ring it up. Another count, another count, another count. And Rabbi Shimon, by the way, in terms of if he does it on purpose, so there's really no point in counting it up, right? Two life sentences, three life sentences. Okay, right. But, you know, they do that here in this country. They're funny about that. But in other words, when if he does it b'mezid, so there's no point. We're talking about why would I want to count it up? If he did it b'shogig, if he did it inadvertently. In other words, not realizing it was usur. So every time you're chayiv, so that's it. It's a new, it's another count, another carbon chatas. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Yossi says you're only going to be chayiv one. Okay, fine. Now, from this point forward, it's going to get a little bit tricky. Okay, just a warning. The level of difficulty of the Gemara goes up over here. Amar Reish Lakish, Machlokus B'dalet V'Hei Evarim. Okay. The debate in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon is when we're dealing with four or five limbs. Mar sevik ki ksiv la asos oso al hashelim hu chai ve'enu chai ve'al hachaser. The Torah says la asos oso, to do it, meaning we are speaking of a unit. Al hashalim hu chayev, so that means that he will be liable over an entire unit, v'enu chayev al hachaser, but not over parts of a unit. Akol behema ksiv, meaning that in order to successfully violate the iser, it's got to be the entire animal. Okay.
So once says majority count, one says the majority counts. If out of like a brings majority of the limb, it counts as one.
Okay, so what exactly does Reish Lakish mean by all this? So it's machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos. So what we'll do? No, I'm serious. In other words, you understand how it's unbelievable. This Gemara is difficult. It's now Reish Lakish explaining the machlokus between Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, and it's Rashi versus Tosfos explaining Reish Lakish explaining Rav Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Okay, it's layer upon layer of Gemara over here. There's a lot. So what we'll do, we're Daf Yomi, we're, you know, you gotta pick and choose. So we'll go like Rashi. I'll explain Reish Lakish according to Rashi. In fact, we'll see Rashi inside. Right? Rashi says like this: Akol behema ksiv, akol ha behema uchayev, ve'enu chayev al aver echad. Hilkach kulu chada halahi. Right? You need, in order to be chayav, you need the entire animal. Meaning Reish Lakish says that when the Torah is giving us this prohibition, don't bring it outside. The it is talking about not a limb, not a piece, but rather the entire animal. And so therefore, the way Rashi understands it, and again, Rashi's not super clear about this, but Tosfos just, okay, let's just stay with Rashi. According to Rashi, what that means is that I need that one piece that I'm bringing up needs to be the conclusion of the entire animal. Okay.
It doesn't have to be whole. It could be cut into pieces and brought into pieces.
It could be cut into pieces and brought into pieces, but ultimately it's got to be that animal. It's got to be that animal.
How does that relate to the four and the five?
So according to, if I cut up into pieces, and now one piece, a second piece, a third piece, a fourth piece, and finally I conclude and I bring the fifth piece up. Okay, cut the animal into five pieces, right? Five extremities in the body. So according to Reish Lakish, that's the machlokus. Meaning, so now I'll bring up that fifth piece. So according to
Rabbi Shimon, it's five separate.
According to Rabbi Shimon, it's five separate isurim, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it's one isur. Okay. That is how Reish Lakish understands it. However, continuing now,
Rabbi Yossi, if you only bring up one piece, you're still
chayev? No, if according to, you got to bring up the whole animal.
But then you're chayev.
Right. Umar sav chayev al chaser, I call behem ksiv. Umar savar, I call aver ve'aver ksiv. And then, I'm sorry, that's all according to Rabbi Yossi. And then according to Rabbi Shimon, no. When the Torah says, don't do it, don't bring it up, that it is not going on the entire animal, it's going on every limb. Aval aver acha diver, I'm sorry, I call aver ve'aver, and therefore you're going to be chayav on every aver. Okay, fine. Aval aver echa diver acha einu chayav ala achas. But if it's only one limb, right, and according to Rashi, the last limb, so then diver hakol, according to everybody, you're only going to be chayav only one. Okay? Okay, fine. That is Reish Lakish's version of the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, machlokus be'ever echad. Demar savar. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we are talking about one limb. Rashi explains the kuleyama oso akol ever ve'ever ksiv. And when it says oso, when it says don't bring it, the it is going on, avarim is going on limbs. Okay? So if the starting point is that limbs are considered units, and don't bring limbs outside, so then what's machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon? So according to Rav Yochanan, it goes like this. According to Rabbi Shimon, if you shecht it inside and it becomes chaser, and even though you shecht it inside the azara, and it becomes deficient, you're going to be chayiv, umar safar patur. And the other position is that you're going to be patur. Aval badal vehei evarim, gevrei kol, chayiv kol evar ve'evar. But if you start with it outside and you break it up into four or five limbs, you're going to be chayiv on every one of the limbs. Okay. So, machlokis Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, what exactly is the Torah telling us when the Torah says, don't bring it outside? According to Reish Lakish, the it really is talking about the totality of the animal. Don't bring the animal outside. And Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi are arguing about what if you take the animal and you cut it up into limbs? Are you going to be chayv on every one of the limbs? According to Rabbi Shimon, you are. According to Rabbi Yossi, you're not. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, no. When the Torah says don't bring it, it's going on the limbs. And everybody agrees that limbs by themselves are going to be chayv. For every limb that you bring up, you're going to be chayv. The only question is, what if you shecht it inside, and inside the azara, and then pieces of it came off that limb? Are you going to be chayiv on that? Okay. Upliga de'ula. And then, just to make it even more complex, the Gemara brings in a third opinion over here. Ula argues, da'amar ula, komodim emukturi pnim, shechazu ve'ala b'chutz, shechayiv. Look, if you shecht it inside the azara, so that means that this animal is fit to be brought on the mizbeach inside. Any bit of it, any amount of it, if you take it outside and you bring it outside and you offer it outside, you're going to be chayev. Everybody,
one at a time.
And presumably one at a time. Lo nechluku ala b'mukter chutz. The issue is, what if you shecht it outside? Shechasu v'hela b'chutz, where parts of it came off and now it's bits of limb. That marsever patur marsever chayev. So then that's the machlok between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's the svar behind Ula? What's going on over here? So the way it's presented, the way Rashi presents it, it goes like this. When you shecht it inside the azara, okay, so now what? Your next move is, you're supposed to offer it up onto the mizbeach. Every part of it, where someone was going to talk about a carbonola, every part of it you offered up onto the mizbeach, even if little bits were to fly off the mizbeach, you know what the rule is? You got to take it and put it back up onto the mizbeach. So offering it inside, shechting it inside, now gives every single part of this carbon now a status of something which could have been brought up. So now I don't have to look at it as limbs and whole pieces of the carbon. I could look at every single bit by itself. And so according to Ula, had the animal been shechted inside and then taken outside, any part of it now is going to create a liability of halah b'chutz. Okay. However, if I shecht it outside, so now I ruined it. It's not a carbon anymore. However, the Torah says, but don't, even though you shecht it outside, but don't bring it on the mizbeach outside now, right? Don't compound your error. But that means, right, we can't look at every single part of the animal as significant. Means the Torah says, don't bring significant pieces onto the mizbeach, entire limbs. Okay, that's Ula. Now, just to make it, wait just one second. Let's just finish this up. Ika da Amri, even in Ula, the Gemara now brings a second version. Okay, so just talk about complexity of Gemara. It's Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan, Ula version 1, it's going to be Ula version 2 in terms of how to understand the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. Eged Amri, Amr Ula, Komodim, and Mukhtar Yechush, Shechaz Ve'alu B'chutz, Shupater. Look, if you shechted it outside and then it break it up into small bits and pieces, so then everyone agrees you're going to be Pater. Lonechu Ve'alu Mukhtar Yepinim, Shechaz Ve'alu B'chutz. The whole machlokes is when I shechted inside the Azara, then break it up into small bits. Marsever Pater, Marsever Chayev. That is the machlokis, whether you're going to be Pater versus whether you're going to be Chayev. Okay, fine. Upligi de Avua de Shmua, Alishna Kama de Ula. Now, one more, and last one. And now, Avua de Shmua, the father of Shmuel. Now, it's interesting, he always is referred to as the father of Shmuel. Usually, you know, you're known for who your father is, he's known for who his son is. So, and the father of Shmuel argues on the first version of Ula, the Amar Avu de Shmuel, Keman mehadrinan pokin lagabe mizbeach. Okay, let's see if we can follow this. If you're in the base of Mikdash, you're in the Azara, and you have a little bit of meat fly off the Mizbeach. So what do? Quickly, scoop it up, pick it up, put it back up onto the Mizbeach. So who do we follow like? The Loker Rav Yossi. So I'll tell you who we don't follow like. We don't follow like Rav Yossi. Why? Because Rav Yossi would tell you, it's just a little bit, you don't need to put it up. Look, Rav Yossi says, I'll show you don't have to put it up. Because if I took that little bit and took it outside and offered it outside, am I going to be violating Shechut Echutz? Nah, I won't be violating Shechut Echutz. So you see that it's not significant. So therefore, if it flies off the Mizbech, I don't got to put it up on the Mizbech. Avu Adishmol says, we don't agree with that. We're of the opinion that if a little bit of meat flies off the Mizbeach, I don't care how small it is, I don't care how quote-unquote insignificant it is, it's not insignificant. It is significant. Pick it up, put it back up on the Mizbeach again. So what are you hearing over there? What you're hearing over there is that every little bit that flies off is going to be significant. Right? According to Ula, first version, anytime you have a carbon, you shecht inside, you bring it outside, so you're going to be chayev, according to everybody, according to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rabbi Shimon. So you hear, I don't know if I'm doing this well, but you hear that the way Avu Deshmul is presenting the debate between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, it's not like the first version of Ula. The first version of Ula has it that that's not even up for debate. If you shecht the carbon inside, every bit of it is significant according to everybody. The way Avu Deshmul is saying it, no, that's not right. That's subject to a machlokas, and we don't agree with Rabbi Yossi. We agree with Rabbi Shimon. So, right, so Avu Deshmul takes issue with the first version of Ula. Okay, that was a tricky bit of Gemara, right? We just scratched the surface of that issue. So again, machlokas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon on multiple counts. Machlokas Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, what the machlokas of Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon is, two versions of Ula, followed number five by Avu Deshmul, the father of Shmuel. Okay.
Don't we have the overarching principle in cases of halacha that not chatzim halacha, by Shabbos, by Ritzicha? Why can't we say here that since only pieces got onto the Mizbeah, he hasn't done the full
malacha? Correct. So it's an issue. Well, because what the Gemara is trying to figure out is what the Torah never says how much carbon you need to offer outside. So it just has to be something where I should have taken it and offered it inside, and I take that and I offer it outside. So right, let's go with the Gemara's ending. Avu Deshmul says, look, if I shecht the carbon inside, every bit of that carbon now becomes significant. Right? What's my litmus test? Well, if something flies off the Mizbeach, I got to put it back up again. So that becomes important. Right? That becomes significant. If I took that little bit and offered it outside, I just violated halal b'chutz. Because that's something which should have gone in the Mizbeach inside. Okay.
Was there one more?
I'd love to tell you. That's difficult. We're up to the third issue of the Mishnah. Third issue of the Mishnah is, what do I need to offer on in order to successfully violate the Isser of Halal B'chutz? So the Tanna Kamma says it's got to be a Mizbeach. And then the next opinion in the Mishnah, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, is that it could be a stone, a rock, Sela or Evan. Okay. Venu Chai Vashiyala Amar Ravuna Maitam Rav Yossi Dechsi Vayiven Noach Mizbeach Lashem. Okay, Noach. So what did he build? He built the Mizbeach. Okay, fine. So Amar Rav Yochanan Maitam Rav Shimon Dechsi Vayikach Ma Noach Es Gidi Aizim Vesem In Chava Ya'al Al Hatzor Lashem. Okay. Manoach went and he offered. And what did he offer? He offered on a tzur, on a rock. Okay. Fine. So, each one of them is presenting a pasuk. Now, each one of them is interesting on its own. I mean, your Noach is well before the Torah was given. Okay. I guess what Rav Yossi's argument would be is, okay, but there is no Beis HaMikdash, right? Noach, the whole idea of Beis HaMikdash isn't a concept yet, but I guess the idea is that it's only significant if it has a Shemiz Beach. If it doesn't have a Shemiz Beach, I can't call it Hala'ah. I'm not offering it if it's not a Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is a very defining object in terms of when I'm offering it outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the other source also is interesting because Manoach lived during the time of the Shoftim. I mean, father of Shimshon. There was Shiloh, so which means he wasn't allowed to offer it outside. Okay, so and that of itself, you know, deserves its own attention. But in the meantime, however, we're just talking about what you need to offer it on in order to violate the Isser. So the Gemara says, V'idach nami v'aksiv, sorry. I'm Rav Yochum, I tell me, Yoshim, right, let's start, V'idach nami aksiv, v'yivet mizbech l'Hashem, ha'hu gova be'alma. So what Reb Shimon would say in his defense is, look, I know by Noach it says mizbech. Mizbech over there just simply means an elevated area. Meaning, don't take the word mizbech that literally. Mizbech just simply means it's an area of height. And the other position, Rav Yossi would say, look, don't take Manoach so seriously. Meaning, what does that mean? Meaning, that's Horat Shah. That was a special dispensation that was given. So you can't establish any type of precedent from a Horat Shah, from something which was special, a special dispensation specifically for that time. The Brisa says that when do you need a Mizbeach? Only Pesach Oel Moed. Meaning that if you want to offer a carbon in your own backyard, you don't need a Mizbeach. Just the Mizbeach requirement is only regarding Pesach Oel Moed. So therefore, if you were in your backyard and you offered on a stone or on a rock, you're going to be chayav. Now, here, the Gemara makes a quick correction about this braitza. Yatsa mi ba'ele. What do you mean chayav? Chayav doesn't seem to be the right term. The right term seems to be yotze. Because the whole point of the braitza is, if I want to offer my backyard, assuming I can, I don't need a mizbeach. So hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, correct. Meaning, the correction is very, very well placed. Lefichach b'shas yisrael b'amazal alasal alav and chayav. Meaning, the lefichach that therefore goes like this. You're right. In a time when I'm allowed to offer my backyard, when bama katanas are permissible, so I don't need a mizbeach. All I need is something, some elevated area. A stone or a rock would be just fine. If, however, there's an iser of bama katana. So that means that much like it was okay when it was permissible, he also will now create a liability when it's forbidden. That means to say that shchut echutz is going to be also even on a stone or on a rock. Okay. By Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Karen v'kevish v'yasod v'rivu amash yakvu babama. Okay. When I have this requirement to make a mizbeach, so do I need all the things that normally define a mizbeach? Meaning, in the Beis HaMikdash, we know there's certain things about a mizbeach that are non-negotiable. Right? Number one, it needs to be, let's go through each one of these. So now, Karen, it needs horns. It needs protrusions coming out of the four corners. Number two, it needs a ramp going up to it. Number three, it needs the stone, it needs a foundation. Number four, it needs to be a square, cannot be rectangular in shape. So these are all non-negotiable items when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So when I'm making my bama, do I need all those things? Maushi akva babama. So I'm a lay Rabbi Yirmi Atanya, Karen Bekesh review via sub ma'akvim babama gadola, ve'ein ma'akvim babama katana. So when it comes to a bama gadola means Shiloh, the one in the Mishkan, right? The main place, just not in the Beis HaMikdash. So then, yes, it has all those requirements. My backyard? No. A mound, a stone, a rock, anything makeshift. Okay, good.
In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, usually trumps Rabbi Shimon, right?
Huh? Yeah, yes. Okay?
So
the Gemara, just explains each position. Gemara, and none of this really gives you halacha. Right? What's the follow position? Okay, good. Let's pause. So we have three basic issues that we dealt with today from the Mishnah. The issue of our special chumrah of shechita, shechut echot, which is afilu lahejot. You don't have to shecht la Hashem, even though you're going to be chayev. We learned about a special chumrah when it comes to halah b'chutz, which is shnaim shehalu. Even two people holding it are going to be chayev, which is not going to be true by shechut echot. Okay. A second issue that we dealt with today is multiple counts. multiple counts of bringing it up. So what exactly is that machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon? That was complexity. That was Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, two versions of Ula Avu and Shmuel, in terms of what exactly that machlokes is. Okay, and then the final issue today is, what do I offer on? Do I offer on a mizbech? Do I offer on a... Can I even offer on a stone? Not can I. Will I be liable if I offer on a stone or a rock? Subject also to a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, the Mishnah, and... The Gemara talks about where the machlokus is based in. Okay. Stop over here. Tomorrow we'll start from the Mishnah.